Baruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Terumah. Tonight's class is being studied Refuah Shelema Victoria Bat Bela. Enna Refana La Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf, Refuat HaKerubah Rabo, V'chein Yirasom V'nomar. Amen. We also want to take this opportunity to wish a Mazal Tov to Rabbi Menachem, that had a baby boy last Shabbat. And Baruch Hashem, he's one of the very important cogs in this operation. Coming every Thursday night to video it and set up the connection in order that the Shi'ur is able to be broadcasted throughout the world. We wish that he should see much nachat, and we give him the traditional blessing of Zeh Katan Gadol Yiyeh. Amen. Ken Yiratzot. We are studying Parashat Terumah. These are difficult parashiyot to give derashot on because it's basically a blueprint. You're reading the blueprint of how they built the Mishkan, what type of materials they used, what was the dimensions, and how much money they collected. So go take somebody's plans that he's building in his house, and you have to open up the plans and you have to say derashot on this. It's not so easy. However, I do believe that if the Torah wrote us Parashat Terumah, there must be practical lessons. Our Torah is called Torah. Torah means a book of instruction. That means every single pasuk must have some practical lesson that we could learn from. So even though it's not apparent in Parashat Terumah, when it comes to the stories of the Torah, it's easy to find a practical lesson. The moral of the story is. But when you're reading Parashat Terumah, you have to go a little deeper in order to find practical lessons. Tonight's shiur begins with one pasuk only. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe l'emor, so God speaks to Moshe, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikhoni terumah. Speak to the Jewish people and let them take a terumah. Terumah is a donation. To build the Mishkan you need money. The Mishkan was made up, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, of 15 different components. Zahav, Achesef, Nechoshet, Techelet, Argaman, Tola'at Shani, Veshesh, Ve'izim, Ve'orot Elim, Ve'od Damim, Ve'orot Techashim, Ve'asih Shittim, Shemen Lama'od, Ve'samim Neshemen Amishcha, Ve'kol Tzvi, Avnei Shoha, Ve'avnei Menuhim, 15 items. So it costs money. You build a shul, it costs money. So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go, Ve'ikholi Terumah, go start to collect the Terumah. Me'et kol ish asher yidebenu libo, from anybody that has a generous heart, tikru et terumati, take my terumah. So right away, when you read this pasuk, you see an inconsistency. In the beginning, the donation is called terumah, and at the end, it's called terumati. Now, to most readers, this doesn't bother them. Terumah, terumati, you don't lose sleep over such an observation. But when you're making the proper analysis of Pesukim, all the Hiddushim are in the nuance. So you have to be willing to be technical for a minute to say, hey, what's the difference between Terumah and Terumati? Once you can find the difference, all of a sudden the Hiddush emerges. The Ben El B'nai Yisrael V'yikhodi Terumah Me'et Kol Ish Ashid Minu Tekhu, it should say, Tekhu Et Terumah. Take the terumah. No, the terumati. Something changes between the beginning terumah and the second terumah. So the one that makes this point is the great rabbi called the Ohev Yisrael, the Apter Rav. There was a great rabbi. He was the rabbi in Mezhbuz, Abraham Yoshua Heschel. He was the rabbi in Mezhbuz after the Baal Shem Tov. I was in Mezhbuz a few times. They have a big house over there, and in the house is the graves. Over here is the Baal Shem, and right next to him is the Apter Rav. Very much next to each other. He was a Gaon. They called him the Baal Ohev Yisrael. It could be he loved the Jews. He had a tremendous Ahavat Yisrael. So he starts. V'yikhuli teruma, meaning his first piece in Parashat Teruma. Ishlomar al dat re al derech remez. Dine ketiv ki biyah Adonai sur olamim. Ki v'shne otiyot elu nivre'u ha'shne olamot. Olam baze ve'olam abba. There's two worlds. What are the two worlds? Disney World is one. No, Azra Shalom is not Azra Shalom. The two worlds, of course, are Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba. Olam Hazeh, everybody knows, we're living in Olam Hazeh. Nobody has to bring you a proof that there's an Olam Hazeh. Olam Abba, they don't talk about so much, but there's Olam Abba. Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chalek LaOlam Abba, it's a Mishnah. As a matter of fact, Olam Abba is the primary world. This is only a vestibule. Like it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, HaOlam Hazeh Domeh LeFiroz Dor, this is just a narrow hallway to get to the ultimate event, which is in Olam Abba. So the Pasuk in Yeshaya says that God created Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba using two Hebrew letters. Ki Beyah Yudke Hashem, of Hashem's name, Tzur Olamim. He created worlds. With the letter Yod, he created Olam Abba. And with the letter He, he created Olam Hazeh. This sounds odd to many of you. What do you mean with the letter? How do you create a world from a letter? I'll explain it to you on a simple level. You see this, this is random. I didn't bring this as a prop. Whatever I have in my pocket, I pulled out. You see this capsule over here? If I were to tell you that this capsule has the ability to destroy half of the civilized world, you tell me impossible. What is it? Poison? What is it? Anthrax? God forbid. What are we talking about? No, it's a regular vitamin. It's nothing poisonous. But if developed properly, it could destroy at least half the civilized world. How? You see this pill over here, like any matter, is being held by atoms. You learned about the atom, the mighty atom. Protons, neutrons, electrons, like they taught you in science. The protons are spinning this way, and the electrons are making hakafot the other way. And this, that means every single piece of matter has in it energy. And that energy is incredible. And if you could just figure out a way to release that energy that's even in the smallest piece of matter, what you have now created is an atomic bomb, and you can blow up in Nagasaki and Hiroshima and the rest of the world. And you don't need a big piece of matter to do this. Again, what this little piece of matter that I just showed you could do half the world. If you could just figure out to break enough of those atoms and release the energy, that means there's energy that's being contained inside, and it's very powerful. Similarly, I use that as a mashal. The Hebrew alphabet, in every letter, there's energy. It's not just a letter for communication. It's not just a letter so you could write a composition. Or so you could have a dibur. The letter He is not the letter H. The letter H is lifeless. There's no energy in the letter H. There's no powers in it. But if you take the letter He, and you know how to open it up and develop it and release the energies, you can create a world with the letter He. What the atom bomb destroys, because that's negative energy, the otiyot are positive energy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, who has the reactor, he knows how to take a hair and refine it. And before you know it, from the hair, he's able to release all its kohot. And before you know it, you have Olam Hazeh. The Yud, although it's smaller than the hair, has a much more potent energy that comes out of it. And from the Yud creates Olam Abba. Does any human being know how to do this? The Gemara actually says there was a human being called Bezalel. Yodeya haya Bezalel letzaref behem otiyot shebon nivreu shamayim va'aris. Bezalel knew how to extract energy from the letters. Hence his name is Bezalel. Bezalel. He's in the image of God, so to speak. He's godly in that sense. What's the matter with that? It's okay. So the Navi says, Ki biyah Hashem tzur olamim. The Yud is olam abba, and the He is olam azeh. Continue. V'yadua, it's well known, דעיקר תרומהו מה שמפרישים מכל דבר חלק היפה והמשובח. When a person gives a donation, the main donation that he gives has to be the prime, the most חשוב. That was the מחלוקת between Cain and Hevel. Cain brought the leftovers on the Mizbeach. Hevel brought the choice. So the after Rav says, of course, when a person gives a donation to God, he has to give what's the most important to him. That's the sacrifice he has to bring. So he says, "Ukshenotzeh adam lagdish eze davar l'shamayim yibhor v'yibror." He must choose and select. Hayoter yafe u'mishubach. Whatever is the most dear to you. Yoter me'oto min davar shiyetzer lagdish shemru chalika yoter tov v'chashuv etzlo. Asher, therefore he says, Alken, etzel anashim tzaddikim. You go to a tzaddik, money doesn't mean anything to a tzaddik. He doesn't care about money. Money is not one of his attractions. If you ever went to visit a tzaddik, you see that money makes no play by them. They live very modestly. They don't have any luxuries. They're not drawn after. Begadim na'im, ma'achalim tovim, kesef v'zahav. To them, they're interested only in ruhaniyut. So if a tzaddik wants to make a donation, for him to give money, money's cheap to him. What's money to him? That's not the best to him. Money to him is garbage. So if to the tzaddik, to give money is not a sacrifice. So what do they have to give when it comes to a tzaddik? They have to give the item that's most dear to them. And what's the item that's most dear to the tzaddik? His olam haba. So it has to be a spiritual donation. Don't ask me how you collect the spiritual donation. This is a good excuse. The next time the rabbi comes, he says, I'm going to give a spiritual donation. Give him a beracha. But we'll answer it. Shekol eske olam hazeh enam nechshavim b'enehem le'me'uma. All the pleasures of this world, they don't have any value to the tzaddik. V'muvhar v'atuv b'enav shel tzaddik. What's choice to them? Urak avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem. Ruhaniyut, olamot, mashenken. Listen to this language. Etzel hamonam, to the regular folk, the bourgeoisie. Hamshukaim b'ta'avot ha'olam hazeh, that are steeped in the pleasures of this world. V'yakar b'enehem. What's important to most people? Hemdat hamamon. The kesef v'zahav. Go to most people, ask them what's the most important thing in the world. They'll tell you their family. They don't mean their family. When they say their family, they mean money. But they can't say money. They can't say embarrass them. They say their family, blame it on their family. But if you get them privately, give them something to drink a little, nechnas ya'in yasas sod. They'll tell you, forget about my family. Who cares about the family? Kesef v'zahav. Bili gibul v'shi'ur. Unlimited amount of money. That's what people worry about. Money. All day long they dream about money. So therefore, that type of person that to him money's everything, it's all about money. Especially when he tells you it's not the money. Then you know that's the only thing it's about. It's all about the money. So for him, when he makes a donation, he has to give what the most hashuv to him is. That's the money. So whereas to a tzaddik, if a tzaddik gives money, it's cheap donation to him because money doesn't mean anything to him. But to the man that's lustful and greedy, and money to him is everything. So when he parts from the dollar, oh, he's giving the most hashuv. So says the Rav like this. It says in the Pasuk, the Beret B'nai Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, V'yikhuni Teruma. So we learned already, the He represents what? Olam Hazeh. That represents people that are connected to this world. So if the certain people, V'yikhuni Teruma, Teruma says the after Rav is Otiyot. Terum He. The donation has to come from the He. From Olam Hazeh, because that's what's important to them. However, you have another Jew. You have people that have a generosity of heart that's talking about the Tzaddikim. To them, they don't have any value to Olam Hazeh. So by them it says what? Tikhu et Terumati. Terumati is Otiyot Terumat Yod. There the donation must come from the from the spiritual realm. Is that shown? I read. Bezeh shekatuv teruma terum he. Haynu she'al yedeh zeh nitromem agashmiyut. Aval me'ed kodish asher yedebenu libo, that's the tzaddik. Mishu mitnadev lev ta'or, he has a pure heart. לא יפנה עצמו לענייני עולם הזה, אלא זה כבר עולם הזה. מזה תקחו את תרומתי, היינו תרומת יוד. Only problem with the אוהב ישראל, or it's a beautiful derash, there's תרומה and there's תרומתי, two different donations. לא הרזה כהרזה, ולא הרזה כהרזה. תרומה is not תרומתי, and תרומתי is not תרומה, it's from two different classes of people. One is a physical donation and one is a spiritual donation. But he doesn't explain what's the spiritual donation. When I go collecting, how do you go collect for a spiritual donation? How do you deposit a spiritual donation? What does it mean? So I'm coming to collect for the shul. Okay, I'll learn with you for 2 hours. I'll give you a beracha. Come with me to the mikveh. What do you mean? What does it mean, a spiritual donation? There's an old Hiddush, which is incredible Hiddush, from the Ben Ish-Hai. Ben Yosef Haim in Baghdad says that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. As you know, it's a Mishnah actually in Pirkei Avot. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah ahat, konelo peraklit ahat. Every time you do a mitzvah, you create a peraklit. A peraklit is a defender. A defender angel, defending angel, guardian angel, they call it. Says the Ben Ish-Hai, the angel has two parts. The angel has a physical part. I guess that's the wings, that's the actual part of the angel. And then he has a spiritual part. The spiritual part is the neshama. Just like a human body. Human body has two parts. Guf and neshama. Malachim have the same thing. Guf and neshama. And the guf and the neshama of the malach is created from two parts of the mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, there's always two parts. There's the actual physical execution of the mitzvah. You shake an ulav, you light Nerot Shabbat, you put on tefillin, that's the action. So that physical action of the mitzvah creates the physical part of the angel. However, an angel that only has physical is not alive. Just like a human that only has physical, he's lifeless. So you need to create, he says, a neshama for the malach so it becomes alive. Nobody ever benefited from a dead angel. Dead angel's not worth anything. So how do you infuse into the malach and neshama? That depends on the kavanah. When a person does a mitzvah with kavanah, where does the kavanah come? From the inside. The mitzvah is done on the outside. I shake to love on the outside, but the kavanah is on the inside. Kavanah is in the head. What's in the head? The neshama. And therefore, when a person has kavanah, the mitzvah that comes from the inside, which is the neshama in the head, so too that infuses in the malach, and the neshama, now the malach is complete. So ask the Rabbanim, the Hakamim, the rabbi called Rav Zushia. He said, what happens if a person just does a mitzvah without kavanah? So according to the Bein Ishchai, you have a dead angel. He came along and said a big chiddush. It's a blockbuster chiddush. It's based on a Gemara in Hulin on page 7. The Gemara in Hulin, page 7, says the following. Yisrael kedushim hem. The Jewish people are holy. Okay, I'm very happy to hear that. So the Gemara says, and what makes the Jewish people holy? Yisrael kedushim hem. What makes us holy? So the Gemara says, Yesh shirotzeh ve'en lo. There's some Jews, they want to give tzedakah, but they don't have. Well, look how holy they are. They want to give. Their whole anticipation, their whole motivation, or their whole drive is what? They want to give. But miskinim, what do you want from them? Yesh shirotzeh ve'en lo. Mamash kadosh, that's a holy guy. But the Gemara says, wait, there's more holy people. The yesh, sheyesh lo, he has money, the eno rotze. He doesn't want to give. Ah, it's like kedoshim. That guy's kador. That guy's tameh. That guy's kamsan bar kamsan. The first guy, Mosido, kiss his hand. The first guy's unbelievable. Rotze, he wants, but enno. He walks around all day long. I wish I could give money to the yeshiva. Oh, I wish I could give money to the Bet Knesset. I wish I could give money to the Chesed. I wish I could give money to Achnasat Kala. Oh, I wish I had the Zechut. Beautiful, this guy's great. He's Kadosh. But I'm worried about the other guy. The other guy, it says, Ve'yesh, sheyesh lo. Ve'enno rotze. This is not my question. Tosfot asks this question. Tosfot asks, Im enno rotze, ve'yesh lo. Lama hu kadosh? Tosfot answers, because even though he doesn't want to give, he gives. He gives anyway, mahmat habusha. He gives because he's embarrassed. But he writes the check at the end of the day. Which we were talking about, he's in the synagogue, he doesn't want to give. But they're going around the shul, how much you give? I'll give 1,000, I'll give 1,000, 1,000. Now they go to the guy. The whole time he's reading Tehillim. Why is he reading Tehillim? Because he doesn't want to get called on. He's praying, he doesn't want to get called on. He got called on. Is that you? He looks around, everybody's looking, he's quiet, the spotlight is on him. He's, oh, I'll also give 1,000. And kol hakavod, he goes home, he writes the check. He writes the check, nothing to do, he writes, not that he's a deadbeat, he pays. But in order to, he really doesn't want to give it. He tells his wife, they pressured me. I was pressured. I give the pressure. So that's what Tosfot says on that guy. He's enorotzeh, but he gives anyway. So Rav Zushi asks on the Tosafot, hey, why is that guy kadosh? That guy's not kadosh. A guy who gives because he's under pressure. Why should Israel be kadoshim as a result of him? You answered partially. It's a partial answer. Okay, he gave it. Okay, so he's not, I thought he was a Rashad. He's not a Rashad. He gives. But you can't call this guy Kadosh. So I just said like this. He says, God is, I'm paraphrasing, God is a Shadchan. Yes? Part of the Shadchanut of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a matchmaker. He brings a husband and wife together. He brings a shidduch between a man and his house where he lives. He brings business partners together. God, all day long is making shidduchim, bringing people together. But there's part of the shadchanut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which people are not aware of. This person that gave the tzedakah, he did an action. But what is he lacking? Kavanah. His kavanah is rotten. The other guy, all he has is kavanah. He wants to give. But he doesn't have action. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He takes his kavanah, the one she'en lo ve'rotzeh, and he attaches it to the mi she'yesh lo ve'en lo rotzeh, and he puts it together. Now you have Yisrael kedushim him, which means Yisrael as a combination, the kedushim. Each one alone is lacking. But when Yisrael is together, the kedushim. And now God creates a complete malach from the both of them. Don't ask me whose malach is it. They share it. Sunday it goes to this one, Monday it goes to him. They make a... Which is a new concept. You're telling me that Borei Olam brings ma'asim machshavot and puts them together in order to make a perfect specimen. He goes on to explain that that's what the Gemara means, and I know you heard this Gemara many times. You heard a Gemara that says that if a person has an intention to do a mitzvah, Hashav la'asot mitzvah, v'ne'enas, and if for whatever reason he couldn't do it, so the Gemara says, Hashav ki'ilu asa'a, ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu asa'a. Person had intention to go make the Kor Holim visit. He planned the whole day. That morning he woke up sick. He can't do it. Doesn't matter. You intended to do it. You planned on doing it. You made the plans. Kilo asa. No problem. It's a great gift. That's one Gemara. But there's another Gemara that says the same principle but in different language. The Gemara says like this. Bachshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lema'aseh. What does that mean? Does that mean that a machshava tova is considered as if you did the ma'aseh? Then why does the Gemara use the word mitzarfa? What does the word siruf mean? Bediuk. Siruf means to connect. So Rav Zushia says, that's what the Gemara means. Machshava tova. Sometimes God takes the intention of the guy who intends to do something, so he has good thoughts. And he's mitzaref. He connects it to somebody else's ma'aseh that's lacking the machshava. Machshava tova mitzarfa de ma'aseh. Now you have a full package. The very melech, Milizinsk, added to this Hiddush. And he said, the Gemara says, Le'olam ya'asok adam b'torah u'mitzvot shelo lishma. Shemitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. What does the Gemara mean? When you serve God originally when you're young, serve Him shelo lishma. Serve Him even for the wrong reasons. We tell the kids to go to shul because they're going to give you ice cream. So he goes for the ice cream, he goes for the lollipops, he goes for the raffle. No problem. Shelo lishma. Why? Eventually, he's going to go l'shem shamayim. Train him to go. You hope by the time he's 50 years old, he's not going for the ice cream anymore. Now he's going for the prayers, he's going l'shem shamayim. But you have to train yourself when you're young. But don't be a hero. Don't say, no, I only do lishma. You have to start. Break the ice. Go shelo lishma. Train yourself to go, and eventually you'll graduate from juvenile behavior, and you'll go lishma. That's a simple interpretation. Says the Ben Melech, what is this lashon ba lishma? Sounds like the lishma's coming somewhere. Ba. The lishma comes. It should say, shemitoch shelo lishma,
Yaseh Nishma. He will eventually do it, Nishma. Mazib Baal Nishma. Sounds like the Torah is coming somewhere. Baal Nishma. So he says that this is talking about over here two people. You have the guy that served God, Shelo Lishma. He served God, but he doesn't have Kavana. He says, don't worry. Ba Lishma, the Lishma will come from somewhere else, from somebody else. The guy that had good Kavanot to go to Bet Knesset, he's thinking, oh, I wish I could go to Bet Knesset, but he's laid up in bed. So all day long he's thinking, oh, I can't wait till I go to Bet Knesset. So God takes his Lishma, and Ba Shelo Lishma, the guy that went to synagogue, he prayed. But what got him out of bed to go to pray? Because he wants to talk to his friends to make plans for dinner, for the bowling league. Oh, so he didn't go to shul to pray, he went to make plans. But he prayed. So he has the ma'aseh. Good, so what does he need? I need a machshava, no problem, banishma. Incredible, Hadushim, the way this works. Only God can do such things. So that's the after Rav. And that's Rav Zushi and Rav Elimelech's Hiddush. Comes Rabbi Friedman and he marries the two principles. How does he marry the two principles? As follows. You have the people in the Midbar that to them the most important thing was money. So what was their donation? Their donation had to be money. Because the after Rav said, you have to give what's the most dear to you. And which of those guys? Those are the Tiruma guys, the Tirumhe. They have to give from their Olam Hazeh. Now I'm saying this now. When those guys gave that money, don't think it was easy for them to give the money. Because they loved the money. How do I know they loved their money? Because when the Jewish people were collecting the money in Egypt, if you remember, in Yam Suf, when they were getting all the money of the Egyptians, at a certain point, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, okay, it's time to go. And what do they tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Two more minutes, we're still collecting the money. The pasuk says, "Vayasa Moshe et ha'am hisyan ba'al korhan." It's against their will; they don't want to go. Who wants to go? They're collecting all the money, all the kesef hazahav. And then when they got to Har Sinai, and Matan Torah is over, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Okay, Rabotai, let's go." What did they say? Okay, let's go. When it came to Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go. You have the money. So you see, the money was important to them. So the pasuk writes, "V'yikuli teruma." You take from those guys. Take from those guys, even though they're giving it to you without kabana. Take from those guys. Take from the teromhe guys. But what does the pasuk say? "V'yikuli." What does Rashi say on the word "li"? Very good. "Li lishmi." Hold it. God says, but make sure there's also an element of lishmi, of lishem shem, but can't be. Those guys don't have lishma. These guys have action, but they don't have lishma. But God says, v'yikuli, make sure there's lishma, but take from the tiruma guys. Where am I going to get the lishma from when I go to the store and buy lishma? There's a vending machine that sells lishma. Where am I going to get the lishma? Those people that have a generous heart, they want to give. Their giving is in the heart, but they don't have. To cool from them, you know what you're going to take from them? Terumati. You're going to take terumat yud. You're going to take the neshama. You're going to take the kavana. You'll get the lishma from them. You understand what's going on over here? The Yud represents Olam Haba, the Yud represents the Lashem Shamayim. Good, so let the guys who have the money give their money, and let the guys that have the Lashem Shamayim give the Lashem Shamayim, and between the Teruma and the Terumati, we'll make a Shidduch. Only problem is with that, Who's gonna make this shiduch?
So remember, we learned about Bezalel, the great contractor of the Mishkan. What does it say about Bezalel? Besides him being a genius and hacham, and he had all the wisdom, the pasuk says about Bezalel, the lachshov mahashavot. He knew how to make calculations. Well, I hope so. That's par for the course. Every contract has to know how to make calculations. And imagine a contractor, if you tell him, tell me your credentials. Oh, I'm a hacham, I'm a navon, I have ruach hakodesh, and I know how to make calculations. Of course you know how to make calculations. I'm not asking, that's pashut. Meaning, you know what a foot is, you know what 2 feet is, you know how to measure, you're telling me? That's basic. What does the pasuk have to go out of its way to say lachshov ma'azivot? So the Hadushi Harim said, and it's also from, they say the story from Rav Chaim Volozhin, lachshov ma'ashavot, you know what it means in depth? He knew what the people were thinking. Lachshov ma'ashavot. So when a guy came with gold, he knew what he was thinking. He says, this guy's giving gold, but he's not l'shem shamayim. He's giving it because he wants his name. He wants something. He's giving it because ulterior motives. No problem. So lachshov ma'ashavot. And then he sees the other guy, Hazi, says, I wish I could give. Lachshov ma'ashavot. He knows he's the Shem Shamayim. So you know what Bezalel was able to do? Yodeya ya Bezalel letzaref. He knew how to make this siruf. The otiyot shenivreu shamayim ba'ares. What's the shamayim? Olam haba. That's the yud. What's the ares? Olam hazeh deheh. Yodeya ya Bezalel letzaref. He knew how to make this siruf of yudke. He took his money without his machshava, but he knew what he was thinking. And he knew this guy's good at Kabbalah. He put, how would I do it? I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to take a thought and absorb it into a... He knew how to do it. He's Bezalel. Doesn't God know how to do it? So if God knows how to do it, Bezalel was gifted. That's why he was given this job. The story over here is the story of Terumah and Terumati. It's the head, the yud and the head. The ma'aseh and the machsheva. The only question you can ask on this, if you ask, it's a good question. Rabbi, what are you talking about? Was there somebody in the midbar that didn't have money? Which means everybody, when they left Egypt, they all left wealthy. They all left Maharechin Yisu Berchush Gadol. So what does it mean there was guys in the Midbar that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to collect from them, they said, we wish we could give, we wish. Give! No, we don't have a Kavanah. What's a Kavanah? And don't tell me that by the time that they came to collect for the Mishkan, they spent all their money. What did they spend it on? There was no malls in the Midbar. Amazon they didn't have. Internet they didn't have. Gambling casinos, as far as I know, there was not in the Midbar. So where did all the money go? There was nothing to spend on. They couldn't lose it in the stock market. There was no stock market. So what happened? How is it possible you tell me there was Jews in the Midbar and that money? So I reveal to you what one of the students of Rabbeinu Ari said. There was a rabbi called Rabbi Mordechai HaKohen. He lived 500 years ago in Tzfat. He wrote a pirush on the Torah. Siftei Kohen. I recommend you read the sefer because he reveals a lot of secrets in every single parasha. And a lot of it, what he's quoting, he heard from the Ari Zal himself. He's a Talmid, Gure Ari. This revelation he throws out just in a side point in Parashat Korah. I'm going to read what he says. Shamati.
I heard. You could assume where you heard it from.
Sh'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, when God told Moshe, Daber na be'ozne ha'am, speak to the people, v'yish'alu ish me'et re'ehu.
Go speak to the Jewish people, tell them to take the money of the Egyptians.
Lo ne'emar ze ela li Yisrael, she'haya lahem helef avodatam.
That was only said to the Jews that worked in Egypt, because their work was not compensated. So the taking of the money was their payment.
However, Abal Shevet Levi, Shelo ayu ba'avodah, lo hutar lahem.
They were not allowed to take a penny, v'hu gezel biyadam. That would be gezel.
Ki achat mezayin mitzvot b'nei Noach hu gezel.
So they weren't allowed to take. The only justification that B'nai Yisrael were able to take the money is because we earned it. They owed us a lot of overtime. But Shevet Levi, you didn't work. So it's time to take money for no reason.
V'lazeh, Shevet Levi lo eklibu korbanot im anesiim.
Why, when they had the inaugural korbanot in Nisan, every day another tribe brought a korban, Shevet Levi didn't bring. You know why they didn't bring the korban?
Because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah? Look what he says.
Shelo haya lahem karat kesef ahad, mizra kesef, kafahat asara zahav, vehayu kulam aniim.
That's his lashon. They were poor. They were poverty stricken. Vehayu kulam aniim. You hear this?
Oh.
So it's very, very possible that that's what happened. B'nai Yisrael took all the money out of Egypt. They came along. They gave terum here. They gave the olam hazeh. Here's the money. But they gave it. They gave it because they had to give it, but they didn't want to give it.
But the pasuk says, hey, the shmi, you need the shma. This is a building mishkan.
Where are you going to get the lishma from? Oh, don't worry. Me'et kol ish asher yidevenu libo. Who's the ish? Me'et kol ish. In the beginning the pasuk says daber el b'nei Yisrael, and then it says me'et kol ish asher yidevenu libo tikhu et terumati. Who's the ish?
Amduk amim.
Who's called Ish? Go to Perashat Bezot Beracha. Ulevi Amar.
Tumecha veurecha.
Le Ish Hasidecha. So the pasuk says the Bere Bnei Israel. That's the other tribes. Vicholi Teruma. They have money. Terum he. And then, where are you going to get the Lishma from? Me'et kol ish. Ulelevi amar tumecha ve'urecha le'ish asidecha. That's Shevet Levi. Asher yidibenu libo, all he could donate is his heart. He doesn't have any money. Shekulam ayu aniyim. What are you going to get from them? Terumati. You'll get the yud from them. They'll give you the Leshem Shamayim. ומחשבה טובה מצרפה למעשה מתוך שלא לשמה בא לשמה ישראל קדושים הם. And now all of a sudden you have a perfect specimen. I explained that that's why they called Levi, his name is called Levi. Because what does Levi offer in this formula? He offers the Leshem Shamayim. He offers the Yud. He offers the spirituality. Levi is Otiyot, Lo Yud. He has the Yud. His name represents his essence. Money he cannot give. Hey, he doesn't have. Yud he has. Kavanah, intention. Oh.
So that's what the Abderuf meant. Terumah, terumati. You needed both. You needed the yur and the hair to make a complete combination between ma'aseh and machshava, and that would create the Lashem Shamayim.
Only question is that, what does this have to do with Adar, and what does this have to do with Purim? Now, I'm not obligated to tell you anything on Adar and Purim. That's not in my contract. I was hired to give a shiur on Parashat Shavua, and I've accomplished that tonight once again, b'chasdei Hashem, and I gave you a Parashat Terumah. But somebody will say, I don't believe this guy. He took us out in 4 below 0, and he doesn't even recognize that it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. Does he not know that it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, this man? And he decides to talk about the Parashah. Does he not know that Purim is in 2 weeks from now? So for those critics, I will say the following comments. Chachamim say, Purim kipurim. Arizal said. They talk about the greatest day of the year, Purim. The Purim is great. It's greater than Kippur in a certain way. Kippurim. Kippur is like Purim, but Purim is... That means there's some element of kapara that we have on Purim. I look at the prayers, I don't even see any hatati aviti pashati, by the way. I don't know exactly what they were talking about when they said, it's like Kippur, it's better than Kippur. There's not one supplication, there's not one vayahavor. There's not one rahamana. There's not one anenu. No sirichot. We read the Megillah, we do all fun things. It's the polar opposite of Kippur. But they tell me, no, Purim, this is a big day. And then I start to look at the day, and I'm shocked because the highlight of the day, where Purim leads you to, put it this way, where Kippur leads me to, it's... The end of the day of Kippur, we're like Menachim. And where does Purim lead me to? To a hangover. The end of Purim, the climax of Purim, a person ade lo yada. It's a strange mahalach. I'm not telling you how much you have to drink, what do you have to drink, you have to be drunk as Lot, or you have to be drunk as the other guy. That's Shi'urim. Everybody follows, their own, the shi'uri. All of a sudden, people that follow normally the small shi'ur of Rav Chaim Na'e, on Purim, they follow shi'ur Hazon Ish all of a sudden. The Mahmir Hazon Ish shi'ur all of a sudden. No problem. It's a strange holiday. Tell me, it's such a great holiday, and the day ends in Lo Yada. It ends without any yedi'ah. You know what I think the explanation is? There's really no difference between the way Purim ends and any other of the 364 days, Rabotai. The only difference is, on Purim we don't have any yediyah because we drank. During the year we don't have yediyah, but we're dry drunk and we still don't have yediyah. Nothing, no difference. Just one is because we have a chemical in our body that is suspending the yediyah, and the rest of the Thursday, when the guy's praying the Amidah and he has no clue what the Kabbana is, what's your excuse now? What did you drink? I drank nothing. You just woke up in the morning. You don't have to drink anything. So really, the only difference between Purim and the rest of the year is on Purim you have an excuse. Purim, you have an excuse why you had no kavana. Hashem, I'm drunk. Anus. Okay, fine. And tomorrow, when you're not drunk, now what? And you know what the explanation is? When a person's drunk, he can do actions, but he can't think. There lies the key of Purim. At that moment, we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not easy in our generation to have concentration. We're distracted very easily. Today, everybody has an attention deficit disorder. Not only those that have to take medicine and have to go to therapy, everybody, we cannot concentrate for long periods of time. Besides this class of tzaddikim that come for an hour and they're concentrating and they're focused, this is an anomaly. Most of the people today, they cannot concentrate. Hakamim recognizes when they said, try to have kavanah just in the first berakah of the Amidah. First berakah, and even that, first berakah, how about the first word? When negotiating, because there's berakah too much. People don't have any attention span. I have a conversation. Don't ask me why. Could be it's tum'at eres ha'amim. Could be it's the meat, the chalev, whatever it's going to be. Could be it's the, a lot of things. It's not, I don't know what it is. The world is very complicated. People cannot concentrate anymore. Maybe all the distractions of the technology. Finally, we get a kavanah, out, and you hear the beeping of somebody's phone go off. Our mind's on the beeping, on the buzzing, on the ringing. There's so much distractions. That's the teshuvah of Purim. We're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive us. For the lo yada, forgive us for that. Just like today, you don't hold us responsible because we're anus. Borei olam, this is the way we feel all year long, and therefore, don't hold us responsible. This ad de lo yada, unfortunately, we have a reason for it that we drank, but all year long, that's the way our brains are, and therefore, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us. For the fact that all of our service during the years, like Purim, without Yediot, the actions we have, Baruch Hashem, but the Mahshaba, we have the hair, but what's missing is the Yud. The Tikkun of Purim is the Yud Keh. That's why when it talks about Amalek, the Pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Kes Ya, Melchama Al Hashem Ba'Amalek, the war against Amalek is in the Yaz, in the Yud Keh. That's why the main day of Purim is on Tedvav, which is also Yud Keh. Everybody knows the last chapter in Tehillim. The last chapter in Tehillim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, b'kotcho, hallelujah, b'kiyah ozo. We say it every day. Which you never noticed. There in that chapter, there's 12 proclamations. First, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's one. Hallelujah b'kotcho. Hallelujah b'kiyahuzo. Hallelujah b'burotav. Hallelujah kerov gudlo. Hallelujah b'tekashofar. Hallelujah b'nebe v'chinor. Hallelu betof machol. Hallelu b'nin ve'ugab. Hallelu b'sasele shama. Hallelu b'sasele teru'a. Kona shamat ha'leviyah hallelujah. 12 lines. The Zohar HaKadosh says these 12 lines, each line represents another of the 12 months of the year. Hallelujah! Nisan. Hallelu b'kotcho. Iyar. Each one of these lines represents another month. And the last, which is the 12th month, which is Adar, what's the line? Kol ha-neshama tehalel ya hallelujah. That the tikkun of Adar is what? Not the action, the actions we have. But where's the neshama? Where's the spirituality? Where's the kavana, which is the head? And therefore we say to God, Kol ha-neshama, ta'alel, ya, yudke, that's Adar, to fix that. And once you fix that, hallelujah, now it's Yud Kei. We can praise God. That's the month of Adar. That's the Teshuvah of Adar. That we served you, God, all year long like it's Purim. And we're asking God for a clemency. We're dry drunk. You have to forgive us. There's something in the air. And you're the great Shadchan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Find us the Lishmas. Pick up the Lishmas from somewhere and finish it. Oh, but wait. Incidentally, that's why we repeat Kol Neshama Teliyah twice, by the way. Because sometimes there's two Adar. You know what I just said? I said a big Hadush just now. Sometimes it's Adar Sheni. That's why we repeat Kol Neshama Teliyah twice. For the 13th month. Anyway, if that's the whole tikkun that you need to bring his lishmat, but you need ahdut. For this to work, you need ahdut. Because anytime you make a shidduch, the people have to get along with each other. No, call the shadchan, this girl hates this guy. Oh, it sounds like a good match. Yeah, after they're married, but before they're married, they have to like each other. So God's not going to make a shidduch between people that hate each other. I made an observation. Purim is different than all the other holidays. All the other holidays, the mitzvot are not interactive. Lulav. It's between me and God. I don't need anybody's help for lulav. Sukkah. It's personal. Pesach. I eat the matzah myself. I drink the arba kosot myself. I lead myself. I eat the maror and the haroset myself. Hanukkah. I like the menorah. Me and the menorah. Comes Purim, all the mitzvot are interactive. Mishloach manot, I gotta have somebody to give mishloach manot. Matarot evyonim, I gotta have a evyon. Even the se'uda, mishpacha o mishpacha, you gotta get together, have a se'uda together. It's a din in mishpacha. Even the megilat ester, merov amadrat melech. Because Purim has to create the environment first of Ahdut. Now you have Ahdut, now go get drunk. Because what are you basically telling God? Boreola, forgive me for not having the Machshavot. Go find me a Lishma in the Wi-Fi, in the atmosphere. Okay, but you have to have Shidduch, you have to be Ahdut. So the whole day of Purim we work on the Ahdut. And then I can go, it's fine, no problem. Take his lishma, take his maaseh, machshava tova, maaseh, ko Yisrael, aravim zeh lazeh, Yisrael kedushim him. We'll take the yeshe rotzeh, yeshe ena rotzeh, put everybody together. Es tikkun ha-machshava. Purim makes this great tikkun of fixing our mitzvot. Therefore, when the Purim is over, what happens? All those angels that were dead, they come alive now. All those angels that were dead, we just made Teshuvah and the Machshavot, God now blows life into them. Where's the remez to this whole story? The Gemara says in Megillah Dav Zayin that Ravan, Rabbi Zerah were having Purim together. And what? They got drunk. Kam Ravan v'shachtel Rabbi Zerah. What did Rava do? He made Shechita on Rabbi Zerah. I was saying, so what he did? He made Tahiyat HaBetim on him. What kind of Purim is this over here? Come Rava, Shechita Rabbi Zerah, then he makes Tahiyat HaBetim, then he invites him the next year, he says, do me a favor, no, thank you. Based on what I'm saying tonight, you know what the depth of this guy is? Telling you the secret of Purim. The secret of Purim is once a person gets drunk, what's the kapara, kam rabba, where do you make shechita from? The head. Because that's our mitzvot, the headless. Kam rabbi zera b'shechteh. This is the tikkun, we're making teshuvah for the headless mitzvot at the time of the seudah, when we're drunk. The person's drunk, he has no head. Come to the above and shahtel Rabbi Zerah. And then what? After they made the tikkun, He revived him. That represents the teshuvah, that he revived. He put the head back into the mitzvot. And now all those malachim were revived again. That means once you come out of Purim, you come out with all those mitzvot that you did the whole year, but they're sleeping. Shushan Purim, you have a whole army of malachim surrounding. Where'd you come from? That's the secret of that Gemara. It's giving you the depth of what the Kavanot of Purim are. It's the tikkun of the yud and the heh. Of the action, which is the heh, which is olam hazeh. And the tikkun of the yud, which is the olam haba. And we make this zivug of those two letters. Yad al kes yam el hamal Hashem ba'amalek. Yiratzon v'shem bizocheh. Now we're starting Rosh Chodesh Adar. This is our way now. Rosh Chodesh Adar is the time of Simcha. That's the greatest Simcha. When we're able to resurrect all of our mitzvot. That's what Haman told Ahasuerus, Yeshno Am Echad. And the Gemara says, Yeshnu min ha-mitzvot. What does it mean, Yeshnu? They're doing mitzvot, but they're doing mitzvot, they're sleeping. They're doing mitzvot like robots. No, could you have Kavanah when you're sleeping? So that's what Haman said. Well, you're going to give them reward for these people for what? For doing mitzvot, Yeshnu min ha-mitzvot. Not that they're not doing mitzvot. They're doing mitzvot, yeshnu. And that's the tikkun to wake up. Yehudim, ta orah, v'smcha, we have to wake up and do the mitzvot with feeling. And we have to make a tikkun for the ad delo yada of the whole year. Yiratzon, we should be zochet to these great elevations, and we should be zochet to this great army of malachim. We must bring the teruma and add to it terumati. Shabbat shalom umurah.